let's just give this a shot. We obviously really like each other. And then from that point on, we've been together for 15 years. The true reality is it's always entertainment. I love reality TV. I love being a part of it. I love watching it. I have learned so much. That life experience is incredible. I mean, having to negotiate with lawyers and really high stake people and high IQ people trying to manipulate you. I mean, I just feel like it made me such a savvier, smarter person.
Well, you and Spencer were ahead of your time, I think.
I'm kind of burnt out on that. I think it was a hard experience because I had Warner Brothers that gave me my own record label and they were like, let's go. We're going to make you the next Lady Gaga. Hardest part of ending is starting
again. You're listening to The Radcast. If it's radical, we cover it. Here's your host, Ryan Alford.
Hey guys, what's up? Ryan Alford. Welcome to the latest edition of the Radcast. We're staying radical here, my friends. I don't want to call this part two with Miss Heidi Montag, Mrs. Heidi Montag, but talking with Spencer a few months ago, they've become good friends and we're helping them out with PrattDaddy.com. Excited to have you on the show, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. We appreciate all your help and totally excited and radically ready.
Yes, I know. We talked pre-show. You don't do a ton of these, running the family, running the business. So we appreciate the time. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you and Spencer better and really value our growing friendship. And, you know, hopefully one day the boys can all get together too.
Well, I'm in for a double date too. Your wife has the best style. I really love her. I'm like, we need a double date.
Well, you'd be excited. I surprised her. We did a staycation a couple nights ago here in Greenville, and I surprised her with a little bling bling. So you would appreciate that, I'm sure.
I love that. So thoughtful. And what a great idea a staycation is, because I feel like so many people don't have time to travel or can't travel or don't want to travel. And so it's just so nice to enjoy where you are in that time together. And especially that bling. Yes.
Yes. She's rocking it. I got her a new, you know, when we got married, like I had started a new business and I mean, she had a nice engagement ring. It was not an average. It was above average, but it wasn't what, you know, I wanted to get her. Was starting a couple of business, trying to be responsible. So, she's rocking a new rock today, we'll say that.
I love that. And I also love that responsibility, because I feel like that was always one of our problems, is we would have gone the other way. Like, let's not have any money and just spend it all on a ring and then we can just not eat and not worry about anything else. So I appreciate that responsibility from
Well, I didn't always have it. It came over time too. We all learn our lessons, but which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit, but let's start a little bit. You guys have been in media and everything for, you know, right around 15 years or longer. So we don't have to go too deep or long into it, but I think it would be good, you know, for our audience to hear, you know, your, you know, history in the business and in entertainment and, you know, leading up to, you know, now being an entrepreneur with Spencer and you guys running your own business. But maybe walk everybody through, you know, a little bit of the condensed history of Heidi Montag.
Well, I was actually living abroad in Italy in my junior year of high school, and I didn't want to go back to high school. So instead of having a senior year of high school, I ended up having a freshman year of college. And I ended up meeting Lauren Conrad there. And she was like, oh, I'm on this show called Laguna Beach. And I was like, that is so cool. Great, because there was rumored that this girl was on MTV that was there, but it hadn't aired, so none of us knew. And her and I had become best friends, and then she told me about that. And then I lived with her over the summer, and then she said, hey, I'm going to have my own, for like a month in the summer, and she said, I'm going to have my own show. I really want you to be on it. I want to move to LA with you. The producers actually didn't want me on. They were like, no, we want Lauren moving to LA by herself and we need this whole struggle with her in the city. And she's like, no, I'm not living alone and I'm not going to live with a stranger and I want my best friend there. So her and I filmed season one. I met Spencer in between season one and season two and I fell in love with him. He fell in love with me too, but he was a little scared. So whatever. And
like
then,
most guys.
Yeah, like most guys. So I changed my phone number on him and we stopped talking. And then he tracked me down, and him and Adrena had a scheme to get back at me and to get on the show, that they would pretend to show up together. And it was this whole thing. So, of course, when I saw them together, I was so mad. And then Spencer and I went through some things. I was dating people, he was dating people, and we just decided, let's just give this a shot. We obviously really like each other. And then from that point on, we've been together for 15 years. And then Lauren didn't want Spencer on the show. She wanted me to be single and didn't want to share time with me. And so at that point, she said to me, like, hey, if you don't break up with Spencer, you're off the show and we're not going to be friends anymore. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to feel like I'm owned by anyone. Like, it's your job to be a supportive friend and not tell me what to do, basically.
Right.
So I chanced everything and I moved in with Spencer and his parents, actually, funny enough. So we had a condo on the show that they paid for, but we just wanted to be in the Palisades, and I love family so much and that family unit. So they ended up not kicking me off the show, and Lauren and I had a very public fallout, and then Spencer and I just schemed things and paparazzi setups, and we were one of the first couples to ever do that, and we became really famous and successful and spent all of our money, and then kind of became out of place at the end of the show, and I had all this cosmetic surgery and kind of a whirlwind of that. And then we moved to Santa Barbara for 7 years and kind of regrouped, and then moved back down here when I was pregnant.
Yeah. A lot to unpack there. I mean,
yeah,
but it was condensed, which right. I do appreciate. No, yeah. It's good. I mean, I know there's a lot there. I mean, maybe I think, and I'm sure you've talked about this before, but I think it's fascinating. You know, reality TV has changed a lot, which I know you could talk about having, and we'll get to kind of the Hills Redux and all that stuff. But like, if you were summing up the reality TV experience now, you know, 15 years later, 13 years later, how long ever it's been, I mean, what do you tell people? Like, what's the true reality of reality TV?
The true reality is it's always entertainment. So you're always going to have a team that's kind of doing a story arc. I think in the beginning it was more real, although I'm sure there are still editors and producers. If you look at the credits, there's a really big team doing it. They're not just going to film a bunch of people and be like, great. I think with even Jersey Shore, it's more of a formula. So they let them go, but then they have kind of structure like, oh, well, let's make them show up here. Let's have them live at this house. So it depends on each show too. A lot of shows that I've been part of, every show just needs drama, you know? Yeah. And so what I've experienced is a lot of scriptedness and story outlines. And season one of The Hills reboot, The New Beginnings, was the most real I ever experienced of The Hills. So there was a great story producer. And she was like, I'm just following the truth, and really pushed for the truth. And that was a really great experience. Season two, which we recently did, was kind of the opposite of the new showrunner that came in. And she wanted more of her story arcs and kind of manipulating things more. And that was a little bit more frustrating, especially because I just had such a good experience the season before. So yeah, it's just different, and it's hard to tell. And that's why I love watching reality TV. I'm like, what is real? What is not? What are they pushing? But I do think, like, a lot of the housewives, obviously they want to get more money and they want the higher storyline and they want to be a reoccurring cast member. So they probably push their own limits and kind of are an amplified version of themselves. But again, I think it just really depends on each show and each person.
Would you, like, looking back, Do you regret doing it, or would you do? I'm sure there's things and moments. This isn't like how many moments would you do differently? And it's not that question. It's more of, you know, for somebody listening that knows about it, like, would you do the show again? Like, would you do reality TV again? Would you change that?
I love reality TV. I love being a part of it. I love watching it. I have learned so much. You know, when you have to negotiate with 10 adults around you and you're 20 years old, that life experience is incredible. I mean, having to negotiate with lawyers and really high stake people and high IQ people trying to manipulate you. I mean, I just feel like it made me such a savvier, smarter person also. So the experience, I absolutely appreciate. The only thing I wish I had done differently and still I have a hard problem with is saving money. So I think that's a struggle for me because I do love fancy things and I do love shoes and purses and bling and, you know, going out to eat and just finding that balance of saving some of the money. So I think that's really where my only regret lies.
Well, you and Spencer were ahead of your time, I think, and you even admitted, you know, manipulating the paparazzi and I, you know, being a marketing guy, I mean, I have t-shirts literally that say attention is currency, attention is money. And you and Spencer were, I think, ahead of your time a bit with understanding that principle. Maybe you weren't the best savers in the world, which you just admitted, but but I think you were ahead of your time with recognizing that with attention comes leverage. And I think you guys, I think, took advantage of that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a time when we were on USA Today's most powerful couples, top three. It was like us, Brangelina, and Tomcat. So we definitely were. And then the Kardashians were behind us and they took a lot of our antics. And even Courtney would ask my sister about her and Scott and what they should do and what Kim should do. So they completely took our mold that we created. And because they have Chris and they also had Comcast behind them, they were able to become 100 millionaires. So that's where we thought it was coming because we were more famous than them. We did have attention as currency. We did use that in the media and have those relationships with them. So in a different world, we were going to be the Kardashians. It's just hard when you have a cast that doesn't play ball, doesn't get it, isn't as entertaining as well. And that's kind of what we've always been against. You need a team like the Kardashians. They have the whole family. This person has this going on. This person has that. Even Jersey Shore, they're all superheroes. They're all great within their own realm. They're not trying to put each other down. They're not jealous of this person getting that. Like, we've always had the worst cast that nobody ever wanted to be a team. And if we all had teamed up, we would be 100 times more successful all together. But ego is a very hard thing, you know, and you can only get so far by yourself if you don't have a Comcast or someone backing you.
Where would you put like Vanderpump in that realm? I mean, they've hung around for a long time. Where would you kind of slot them in that, you know, I don't know, judgment of longevity?
They did a really good job. I remember when they first came up and I was like, Vanderpump. But I didn't get it either because we were on the hills and I just thought, you know, that it was so much bigger. But they did a really good job of sticking together, of all bringing it. They each bring their storyline. I think this season is a lot harder because they've lost a lot of their originals, and that I think loses part of the audience. So that's tricky. And I think that's kind of dwindling and on their way out at this point. I mean, time will only tell, but I think it might have, you know, run its course at this point. But I think they're all great. And if I were, you know, ideally they'd all come back, you know, they all need to, the originals could come back and bring it. You know, Stassi came back so many years later and revamped the whole thing. Yeah. So one person can make a huge difference.
Talk about the singing part. I mean, how much of a passion is that? I know you put out an album and you still do it and perform here and there. I know with running the family and this business and all that, it's not like table one for you, but where does that slot in, you know, kind of your passion and what you enjoy doing?
I'm kind of burnt out on that. I think it was a hard experience because I had Warner Brothers that gave me my own record label and they were like, let's go. We're going to make you the next Lady Gaga. We're going to push you so hard. We just need MTV to get on board. And MTV was adamantly against it. And they're like, absolutely not. They wouldn't follow us like Kardashians or even Vanderpump or any of these. They wouldn't follow my music. They wouldn't acknowledge any type of success or outside interest. So we were really put in a box. But if I had MTV on my side, like Ashley Tisdale had Disney and all these other things, my music would have been huge. I mean, especially in the gay community, I have a lot of fans with that. I make a few hundred dollars every month still off my music. So I really love it. But for the amount of energy, time, and money I put in, I mean, there was a point where I couldn't even listen to my album for like a year or two because it just made me so mad and so frustrated and felt like such a waste of money. But I absolutely love music, and it was my biggest dream to be a pop star. And I did perform at Miss Universe, which was at over a billion people. And who performed the year before me was Lady Gaga, and that's what catapulted her to be the biggest thing ever. So I was like, great, this is my chance. I'm going to be within there. I didn't think I'd be as big, but I definitely had hopes that it would, you know. And on the radio, I had like top 25 on the charts for the dance music, and I just had so much momentum and hope, and it just really got shut down. So that was a hard thing for me for a long time.
So it's more jaded now than anything, it sounds like, with just the process.
Well, now I just enjoy my own songs and I work out. I'm like, okay, I paid a lot of money for this album, so I'm just going to keep it moving. It is what it is, and enjoy the music myself.
What's it been like becoming a mother? I mean, I know you seem like a great mother. I mean, I'm getting to know you more and more. I see how much you guys put into Gunner and everything. What's that been like? It seems like it's been amazing.
It has been amazing. It's so much better and harder than I anticipated. So I didn't leave Gunner for like a year and a half. I mean, I was a very attachment parent. I left him to get my nails done like 2 times. And that was a big journey for me, refilming the hills. I wouldn't leave him. I'd like hysterically cry. If I had to leave for an hour, I'd be so worried. I'd watch the cameras the whole time. Hey, Castle. Sorry about that.
No worries.
So that was a big adjustment for me, but I actually needed that push because I kind of forgot. I didn't forget I have a husband, but when you get so busy being a mom, you just don't always have as much time for your husband. And I kind of had, it was a good reminder that we need alone time and we still need dates and stuff like that. But I love being a mom and I really cherish every moment, and hopefully we'll have more soon. We've been trying for about a year. I'm getting some pelvis adjustments. I had a little operation too. So who knows? Hopefully.
How has it been like with you and Spencer? I mean, God, it feels like you guys have been through so much, but I mean, and I know it's every relationship's hard, but y'all seem to have made it through thick and thin. I mean, and I don't know how much people appreciate probably the level of everything that you guys have been through, but I don't know. I just appreciate and value the loyalty you guys seem to have towards each other through all that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely us versus the world. And at a point, you know, we weren't talking to my family because we felt like they were going against us and not being supportive, and his family. And so there have been so many times where it literally was just Spencer and I, and it drove us closer together. And for a lot of people, would have completely tore them apart. But being against all these producers and conglomerates, and it just made us such a tight knit, unit. And so I think the hardest challenge for us has actually been running Pratt Daddy.
Yeah.
I think that's been the hardest thing for us because it's such a constant. So when it's TV and when it's your own personalities, there's just not as much that you have to deal with all these details and like continually being hit over the head with payroll and how much do we spend on this and how much do we spend on that. And it's hard because at first it was Spencer's company basically that he was doing, and I had a newborn. I'm like, great, whatever, I'll just promo it. And now it's become both of us, and I always have to be the bad cop with finances and this. It's like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to have to get into that. So I think our hardest challenge has been this company.
Yep. And you'll learn a lot from that on its own. Outside of, I know you have. I'm giving you the crash course as fast as I can, but it's but it is a lot. And I think you're dealing with what all entrepreneurs deal with, myself included. Everybody wants her to kind of be a silver bullet or like one thing, but it's like 47 things, you know?
Yeah.
If not 147 things. And you have to get them all partially right to make it all work.
It's incredible. I'm surprised any companies are successful. I'm like, this is so hard. And to figure out your audience and to get an audience and then to find new products and then to see what is successful and what isn't. I mean, there's been so much trial and error. And then when it's between two people and you go home and then you're still talking about that, and then you have to make hard decisions. And it's like, especially when you guys are on two ends of different spectrums, it becomes very challenging. But going live has drastically changed everything, and it gives us that hope, and it's been great for sales and really engaging with our audience. So thankfully we have that, because before we started going live, I was like, we need to really sit down and figure out if it's worth it. And I was like, I'm going to go into real estate, which I'm still debating doing or not, but I'm like, we need a different income at that point. And we put all of our money into that company, and that becomes really stressful as well.
Yep. And so for everyone listening, you know, and I won't take credit because they were doing it before, but they did ask me, how should we do this more often? I was like, yes, social selling, yeah, live selling, right, yes, as much as possible. It's like the biggest trend. And especially you guys have baked in attention because you're both stars. And so I'm like, hell yes, you need to be in front of your audience, and social selling, live selling is all the rage. And it does. I mean, it's funny, like my wife's mom watches QVC still to this day. And I'm like, is it kind of like, it's different than QVC, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. You know, it's like relationship selling, but live. And so you can engage with your audience and you get front and center with them.
Exactly. And for everyone, we have Pratt Daddy Crystals, which is our crystal company. So I know going live has been so great, and it is QVC, and that's why it is so great. And it is a formula that has been successful over the years. And the thing with crystals is you can't see how great they are on a website. They're one-dimensional. Crystals are a multi-dimensional, faceted, the light, the different intricacies, they're one of one. So the best part about going live is that they are one of one products. And that is actually becoming our advantage, which has been our disadvantage of just having a website, because we're like, we're paying so much money to get it photographed and then sit on a website, and we're not able to move this inventory, as opposed to other companies that have, you know, clothing or whatever. They look great. You only need to shoot them once and then they're up for 6 months. So it's cost efficient. But for us, it's just been like throwing money out the window.
Yeah. And you guys have the scarcity and FOMO built in, which is an advantage of, hey, this is the only one we have right now. And right, so leveraging that as a reason for someone to buy immediately. So many people have, oh, I can buy it later. But when you've only got one of one, that's a lever you need to pull.
Right. You're like, this is it. Now or never. Let's go. Who wants number one?
I know. You just described, a fair amount about the challenges of the business, but like, what's been your biggest learning lesson to date from running Pratt Daddy?
Oh my gosh.
Is it just that overall complexity?
Yeah, it's so hard. And it's just a balance of spending as well. So we just deal with that every month, because the more crystals you buy, the more money that you make, but then you can't be spending all of your money into inventory. Payroll being more efficient. I'm the one who always has to fire and hire, basically. So that has never been a fun job. I get all the really fun jobs, you know, like I'm the bad guy. So good cop, bad cop. But I think also knowing your roles I think that's been the biggest learning curve with Spencer and I. I'm like, sometimes I'm just going to let him be like, great, and let him figure something else out and, you know, pick my battles with certain things. So I think just between us and kind of getting that going has been hard. Also, we've just done so much trial and error with a photographer and product placement. So trying to eliminate that. And I mean, gosh, it's so much.
I know. What if you had your choice of, I mean, do you want to stay in TV? I mean, you seem to love it. You seem to be great at it. I mean, I know it's a passion, but like if you had your choice, and I know we all wish it was that easy, but is it doing more TV? I mean, is that choice one?
I don't know because I debate that to myself. Like, I have a really hard time leaving my son, and leaving him isn't worth anything to me. So like, if there is another season of The Hills, I won't be filming as much because I'm not going to leave my son as much. You know, I did that even last season. I had to leave him a little bit more than I was comfortable with or that I wanted. Like, the group trips, we're the only one bringing a kid with us. And so I try to incorporate him with that. But I just think with that, and also once we start filming, then that's when Pratt Daddy drops off. Like, we have to be there every day. We need to be checking in. And with filming, we only get up there like once a week. So it just becomes really challenging because I have to get hair and makeup in the morning. And then if I have, you know, an extra hour, I'm going to spend it with Gunner. So the business really suffers when we go back on TV. Also, we don't end up saving the checks at all. It seems like we end up putting them back into Pratt Daddy. We pay taxes, managers, lawyers, agents, and then we end up with no money or like more in debt. I'm like, this just made no sense. So it becomes a very frustrating challenge. But I do like it, and I always wanted to be on TV when I was younger. And it's a fun world to be part of. It gives different experiences. Like, we lived in the jungle and in the Big Brother house and all these things. But again, I wouldn't do any of that. And really, I just love being a mom. It's my favorite job. And I really want to have another kid. So especially with a newborn and balancing my toddler, I can't really see myself being able to do TV much.
Have you thought about, I'm sure you guys have, but like self-producing, I mean, like Spidey, like that way you didn't have, like the show was you guys. I'm sure you guys have kicked that around.
We have, and it kind of goes down to YouTube. So I think at that point, like, you know, TV is just more competitive than it's ever been, and it's more saturated, and there's just more people willing to do more things. And, you know, it used to be so salacious when, you know, Lauren and I got in a little club fight back in the day. Now people are fighting on TV, and it's just the stakes are so much higher and people are less entertained. You know, you just have to do way more and the expectation is higher. So it's really challenging to be a TV personality also. And, you know, we were there before influencers, and it's fame is just not what it used to be. It's so saturated. And I know that people used to get so upset when we were in the magazines back in the day, because it was like, no, we don't want reality stars, because they just wanted to be movie and TV. And now there's so many famous people, you can't even keep up. So we were famous and successful at the end when it was really fun.
I think that's a great pivot, because I kind of wanted to ask this anyway, but because everything is so saturated, that target audience is super important. It's obviously always important in marketing, but I am curious sometimes, and as I've got to know your business a little better, like, who is the Spencer and Heidi? And I think, you know, it's together, but whether it's Heidi Montag's audience or Spencer's audience, who is your audience? Have you guys thought about that? I'm sure you talk about it a lot, but like, who is that audience?
Yeah, most of our audience is our age. I think our target audience is about 30 to 35. So people who really grew up with us, but we do actually have a good amount of a younger audience. And I think that's from Snapchat and TikTok. So we do have that 20 to 25 market as well. But the majority of our audience is older.
They grew up watching The Hills, and they followed along, and, you know, stayed loyal, and they're still, you know, wanting to, you know, be, I don't know, connected to you guys in some way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, what do you guys, how do you kind of sum up, you just talked about like fame is, I don't know if it's devalued now or whatever, but, is there a time when you wish I know the spotlight isn't as bright as it was 15 years ago, but you guys are still famous. I mean, are you over it?
I guess it just doesn't feel that way. Like, it just doesn't feel like we're famous. I think the first step we had towards that was just going to Santa Barbara for 7 years and really just living such a simple life. Like, we took ourselves out of that fame. We easily could have tried to stay in Hollywood and, you know, trying to do paparazzi setups and really hunt that down. But I think at that point we're like, we just need to live and figure out who we are and just enjoy life at this point. So I think ever since that, we've never really felt super famous. I mean, in London, when we went back for Big Brother, we were incredibly famous there. We couldn't go down any street without everyone yelling, "Spidey!" You know, the press and like super excited about that. But it just doesn't feel famous. And we live in LA where nobody really cares, or especially where we live, you know.
Yeah. I didn't know if it got old. Like, I end up talking to, you know, all variables of celebrities at different phases or different industries. And I don't know. It seems like the more I talk to, there's some amount of jadedness with it all.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily seem that way, but it just seems a variable that I hear.
Sorry, Spencer just entered. I didn't want our four dogs to go crazy. Yeah, I know. It's fame is just a really weird thing.
There he is,
Dad, Daddy. There's the famous one.
I know. Yeah, I know. What's up?
I won't let you distract me. Don't worry.
You're good. We're wrapping up. We got a few more minutes. Lastly, I mean, you talked about the younger audience. I mean, do you feel like that? I mean, do you feel like now, like, you have a role model role? Probably not my best grammar, but like, I don't know. Do you guys think about that at all?
I mean, we used to on and off. I don't know. I feel like most of the people who follow me are like moms or, you know, young 20-year-olds. So I don't really have that much younger of an audience. I think that the younger, like 20-year-olds really are more of Spencer's audience because they really like the crystals and all the weirdness and the Air One stuff, all the Air One stuff. And, you know, so he has more
his hummingbirds,
his hummingbirds. But I feel like the most important thing that we are a great role model of is being a great husband and wife and family unit. And I think no matter what, that's the most important thing. And there's not many people who are modeling that. And it's really hard. You have to live that life and show that support and that dedication. And like you said, we've always been a team and advocating for ourselves with or prioritizing each other. And I think that's a really important thing to show and to fight for love and to not just be like, it's great. I'm just going to give up. You know, obviously there's certain circumstances where people absolutely should not be together. And especially if it's toxic or dangerous, but I think some of the times people just don't want to do the work.
Yep. And that's what I like about you guys. It's like, I don't know, as I've gotten to know you, it's and from afar, but it's like, there's that LA sheen of these guys were superstars at one point, and now certainly still stars. But there's some amount of, I don't call it Midwestern practicality of relationship and being a parent that I think is so relatable for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am from Colorado, so I have my family there, definitely from the Midwest myself. And I love that. And that was just always my number one goal when, you know, cause I come from a divorced family and I thought I'm just going to make sure to be really serious with who I pick. And I don't ever want that for my kids. So for me, that was just always something that was a life goal from a very young age.
Well, I love it. I'm going to have a quick rad or fad with you. I'm going to give keyword. We might do a part two and talk more about Pratt Daddy down the road, but,
yes, we will.
Let me give you a couple keywords, and you tell me rad or fad.
Okay.
Squid Game.
Fad, because I haven't watched it. I don't know.
You've seen it, though.
Sure. I haven't. I've heard of it.
Yeah, heard of it. Yeah, no.
Spencer watched it for me.
Oh, yeah. Did he like it?
Yeah, he likes all TV.
All right. Well, there's some layups here. Live social selling. Rad or fad?
Rad.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. All right. I asked my wife, I asked Nicole, I said, I'm going to talk to Heidi tomorrow. I need a good trending something. She said, mom jeans, rad or fad?
Rad.
She said, Heidi will say they're rad. I'm like, okay.
Rad.
Oh, and finally, The Hills returns again.
Bad.
Okay. So maybe not for all you Hills fans out there.
Not. Yeah, we're not sure. We'll find out in February.
Okay.
They have to make the decision by then. Thank you so much. And then we'll do part two.
Yeah,
we'll just talk Pratt Daddy and e-commerce and get lots of advice. And so thank you so much for everything. I'm ready for that double date, that family time. Are you guys ever coming out here?
Yes, we're going to plan something. And you guys got to get here too. You guys would love it, this area.
Great. So, and then Spencer.
Yeah, I know. I'll convince him. But
do it.
Cool. Well, we really appreciate Heidi Montag and my boy Spencer. You know where to find us. We're at theradcast.com. Search for all the content. Search for Heidi Montag. You'll find today's highlights. You know where to find me. I'm verified on all the platforms. I'm at Ryan Alford. We'll see you next time on The Radcast. Woo!